yesterday we sent out an email, asking for help to a whole bunch of people in my email list, and I guess you sent it to the newsletter.
Yeah, about 4,700 people.
Wow. Well, and the letter had both my phone number and my email address on it, so I got calls up through midnight last night. I know, but it was worth it. It was really good. We're getting a lot of money in, promises of a huge amount, but all kinds of things happen in phone call. People that listen to the, there's a young couple that listened to the Bible study every morning that had saved their life and saved their marriage. And
that's a switch.
And it's like what we're doing has a far greater effect on people than I ever imagined. And they were afraid that they had the Harry syndrome, that they were going to have to, that we were if Trinity went away, then everything would go away.
And we're going off the air.
Everything would be wrong.
Yeah, you scared our art director.
Well, that was many people who. But it was just. It caused me to think about things, maybe to return to what living by faith really is. And there's an interesting. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, chapter 8. This is about it's about collecting, about money, and they're commending all these people, and then go up to verse 8. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty, that you through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Sorry. And they're talking about meeting need. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. For if there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Now, that simple scripture blew me away. If there's a willing mind, whatever is accepted, not according to what he hath, not according to what he hath not. Now, that is a principle of faith, I hate to use that word. It's an aspect of faith that has been, from my perspective, our hallmark from the beginning, that we were never judged by what we didn't have. We were only to be, if there be the willing mind, we are only accounted to be faithful to what we do have. And that's why I sent that letter yesterday to those people that are somehow, they've indicated a willingness to want to listen or to be a part of this. And the response just blew me away. I've been talking a whole lot about ethics and integrity lately. Well, a professor with a ton of credentials that's been listening, maybe still is this morning, offered, he wants to be on our board of directors, and he's been on a lot of boards and stuff. Another guy who formerly published a satire magazine, wants to do anything he can to help us. My sister.
You got a call from your sister?
My sister gave us $574. I don't know where that. It's a long story where that number came from, but I mean, she's listened every morning since the day she was here and left when she went and listened to the back ones.
Hello, Sandra.
Hello, Sandra.
And she said,
"Still unpleasant."
But this whole idea, no matter what it is that you're dealing with, you're not judged by what you don't have. You don't have to worry about what you don't have. You just, all it requires is to be faithful to what we do have. And what we have, we're all these people that were supporters and interested in what we do and benefiting from it. And the main thing that they feel a connection to is the gut level honesty in Bible study. Now, I don't know where all this is going, but I felt it imperative to talk about it a little bit this morning.
Yeah, that's cool.
Harry, you were.
Well, I was just going to say, a year or two, I don't know how long, a while ago, I was really torqued and upset.
It was yesterday.
No. Well, yeah, but I mean, that's a different story. I was really torqued and upset about the magazine and doing what it is I do out of fear and upset and blah, blah, blah. And you really whacked on me hard about what you're talking about right now. And, I mean, I really think that we have, in the last year or two, been concentrating on being faithful to what we have. Not worrying about what we don't have vis-a-vis the magazine. And it's made all the difference in the world. Everybody's having fun. It's getting better.
Well, what I want us, each of you, to see is not necessarily some big deal or big plans or something about the foundation. I want you to see this intimately about yourself. You're not, it matters not what you don't have. That's totally immaterial, and it even matters not of all the mistakes that you've made, of all of the should have done up till this point. Right now. Right now is only if you have a willing mind. What does that mean? My people are willing in the day of my power. That's the whole the mantra of Pentecost. Should and it and I mean really it's and what is a willing mind? It's a mind who has seen through the futility of self-effort. The only willing mind is an empty mind, and not sit around and thinking about it, what you don't have and how to get it, but to be faithful to what is in front of you. And that's all. So you never judged. And you, if God isn't judging you by what you don't have, why in hell are you judging yourself?
I was hearing that a different way this time when you read that scripture. I was thinking about it in terms of what you have is accepted, and if you're giving stuff you don't have, it's not accepted. No matter how wonderful and great it is, and
most
of our guilt comes from the fact that we didn't get around to giving whatever in our own minds we had thought we had, but we really don't. And it's like all that stuff is, you know, it doesn't matter.
Well, this would be the death of credit card millionaires, if you hear this.
This is exactly, Gary, what I was talking about what I gave up. What's between the straits.
No, that was a dig at you, but it was...
This is exactly what I was going through in between the straits. Being aware of a lifetime of thinking of the good thing to do, but then not doing it. And structuring a life around feeling guilty and worried and angry and blah, blah, blah. Instead of just doing what I have to do.
Anybody else have any response to what I've talked about?
You know, success of marketing depends on being faithful to what you don't have.
Yeah. That's why the best salesmen are the ones that are most in debt. And even like, what's his name was telling us about the car salesman, that the bosses encourage them to get into huge debt. So the debt becomes the motivator. So fear is the motivator. And that can't be true for us or for a believer. And so the whole process, it should give you tremendous peace, this understanding. And to see it worked out in a bigger environment should give you an understanding of the faithfulness of God. In your whatever you're going through. What's going on, Tom?
Listening.
Okay.
I was thinking how, you know, when you teach all the time, and I know I teach on Sundays and here and there, you look out and you say stuff and you never know what's being heard or happening or not happening. And yet I was seeing the other day, I guess it was Sunday, tons of things are taking place, but they're not visible to the eye. And that's if you preach to the what you see or talk to what you see, then you'll always be in deception. And that's why this place of thinking about what faith is, it's like erasing the blackboard or hitting the delete button and just of your mind and not letting that be the way you speak or talk or think. But you speak as an oracle of God and trust that things are happening, and I'm glad what you've said this morning, because you know there's a lot happening, and it's nice to know every once in a while that.
Yeah, I mean, this thing, it turns out that this little story from the Virginia pilot about Pat Robertson's health drink and the guy that came over here, Phil Bush, that muscle man. Anyway, first of all, a little story I picked up at the Associated Press, and yesterday the CBS radio interviewed me. Now it's all over the place. I mean, it was about this integrity. Pat Robertson is making a huge amount of money again from his affiliate being because he sold his recipe for this health shake to GNC or whatever that nutrition. And is selling because he's advertising it on his television show, but now he's not saying, I'll send you the recipe. He's just saying you can get it at GNC. And my God, I mean, talk about lack of ethics.
He's making headlines this morning around the world. Have you seen that?
No.
He says that we should assassinate the president of Venezuela.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. But the point of it is, as you said, there's a lot happening. Everybody here doesn't, you can't know about it all the time because, first of all, I forget about it. But back on this other thing about what preaching really is, let's go to Romans 15. And it's not just preaching, it's anyone. This is one verse 18. For I will not dare to speak of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me or in me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed. Now, you've heard me talk about this many times, but I am determined to speak of nothing until it has been worked out in me by Christ Jesus. Now, what does that mean? It means that if you talk about some aspect of faith that hasn't been, that you haven't lived, then it's just, it's nothing. It's meaningless.
That's the other aspect of what we just read, which is like, you know, you can't think of all the stuff that you'd like to do.
No, it has to be what you've lived. And so,
that's the fleshly puffed up speaking evil of things they understand not, and all the whole thing of talking about what you don't know anything.
So, but the whole thing about, it goes back to this incredible position that we've been put into, that's reflected in that ancient prayer. But it's all about Christ in me, the hope of glory. But it's, you know, O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God, my own eternal life. Live thou thy life in me. Do thou thy will in me. Be thou made flesh in me. For I have no life but thee. I have no will but thine, O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God. Now, that's the basis upon which, if you just go try to look up something that you're going to talk about, it can't be real because it hasn't been worked out in you. And so any listener can hear it. It sounds like a bunch, it sounds like tinkling cymbals or something instead of this crystalline word of God. Not because you're anything, but because by the grace of God, what you're speaking about has been worked out in you. That's why the evangelists in the first century, when they went out, they lived with the people. So their words were tested by their life. You know, Harry still got me on the hot seat waiting for me to make a contradiction. Or if it's a contradiction between how I live and what I say. And some of you others do too. But it's time to put that aside. That's a childish thing. Hopefully you've seen by now, and you know for your own self what's been worked out in you. So you don't need me anymore. The only thing I can do is make fun of you or push your buttons when you don't do it. But can you see the freedom? If you know, I am determined to speak of nothing until it has been worked out in me by Christ Jesus. How much freedom that would give you? You never again would have to ever think about what you're going to say. You never again would try to wait for the right time to speak up or to how to get advantage of that situation. You just be. And you'd never again be a respecter of persons. You cannot... To not be a respecter of persons is a huge deal. If I yet please men, I could not be the servant of Christ. But these two subjects, which seem unrelated, are intimately related. The idea that we're not judged by what we don't have, we're judged. All we have to do is be faithful to what we have and what we are. And I'm determined to speak of nothing until it's been wrought in me by Christ Jesus. So just must, I mean, so, you know, that's why there's what I tell you in the dark, speak in the hot stove. In the dark is when it's been working out. What, that shot from the housetops. That's not television to tennis, but. But the above all, you cannot act. You cannot concern yourself with the response. Because it's been wrought in you by Christ Jesus. And again, you're going to screw up. You're going to push. You're going to go over the line and speak of stuff that's not been wrought in you. And then hopefully there'll be somebody around that says, wait a minute, that's just crap. But you don't have to worry about what you don't have, what you're not prepared. That's why these people that bring, you know, you got to come over here and meet Ole, because, you know, just speak of what you know, what's been wrought in you. That's your only responsibility. I'm not doing too well, so. Anybody have any response to all of this? John, what's going on? You agree?
I totally agree. Spoken before of the doing what's in front of you and repenting from this.
Thank God that's all you have to do. I've said this before. If I happen to live like the so-called religious teachers tell you you're supposed to live, which is constantly thinking about, is this, did I do all these rules and regulations, and this is good and this is bad, I can't live that way. I just can't do it. It's got to be as simple as just do what's in front of you when you're screwed up, repent.
That's all it is. It's not, again, remember I used to tell everybody, love God and have fun. If you knew what that meant, that is the whole gospel. Because to love God is to give breath only to Him. But you quickly find out when that becomes the predicate, you quickly find out how many things that you love instead of God. You tell me you love God, show me the things that you do on the earth. But mostly people's fear toward God is taught by the precept of men. And that's just goofy. You can't. That's beyond silly. Pitiful is what it is. I was
thinking of the man that was born blind and he healed. And then they started asking all these questions about,
I don't know what the hell you're talking about. I was blind and now I see.
Yeah. What was worked out in him was, that's all I care about.
I don't care about theology. I get this email yesterday. And I'm still getting it. I know they're supposed to go to you, but I don't have the heart.
I get one or two a week, that's all.
Oh, I'm glad. Well, I'll have to. Anyway, this one was about, well, what about people say that when we're resurrected, it'll be our bodily resurrection, and it'll be this physical body will be resurrected. And so I answer and say, that's the last thing in the universe I would want.
Please.
I mean, I've had enough of this body. But it's an honest, people that are sincere believers and have through the ages believed that there's going to be a bodily resurrection, and they get into a little problem when people are cremated or stuff. But anyway, and it doesn't. So it's not an issue of division or anything. It's just this is something we can't possibly know for certain until your resurrection occurs. But we do know a number of things. We know that only that which came from God can return to God. We know that He alone has immortality. So, as I understand it, the bodily resurrection is talking about His body, the church, is resurrected as a glorified body. But if you want to believe, or if some friend of yours believes that you're going to be bodily resurrected, that's fine. Physical. It's not an issue of faith. The only issue of faith is simple, really, if you get down to it, and that is, have you come to the end of yourself? Do you have any more options left?
Son of perdition been revealed.
Yeah, has the son of perdition been revealed? Well, even that I don't think is an issue of whether or not there's fellowship or whether or not union isn't our business. Union is, we already one in Christ. We just don't know it yet. And the only places that keep us from knowing it are the places where we have opinions.
I've seen where people's minds will glom onto a point, and then their faith life revolves around an unanswerable question. And if they get rid of that one, they glom onto another one. So it's just tricks of the evil one to keep you from walking in.
Well, yeah. Now the basis of fellowship was whether or not you are against abortion and want to vote for the Senate should vote for Roberts, whatever his name is. And that's, and people are breaking fellowship over that kind of silly stuff. It's not silly, but it's not issues of eternal faith. Christ never spoke against any of these things. It's just. But if it's a way to excuse judging others. Anyhow, I gotta quit. I'm not doing too good. Anybody have any other last? Do you have a last will and testament? I mean, last word. Take it, big guy.